A story with pictures. Six-part thriller for radio by Colin Shaw. With Freddie Jones as Sir Marcus Martin. Part 2, The Proposition Accepted.
You've almost certainly heard of the man I work for. Sir Marcus Martin. Traveller, writer, maker of television programmes. At his home in Lincolnshire, in a locked room upstairs, he kept a collection of sketches. A very special collection, done by Goya in preparation for his masterpiece, The Horrors of War. Sir Marcus thought this collection was known only to a few friends. But then one of his neighbours, Stephen Emmett, who combined farming with a sideline in smuggling across the North Sea, was confronted on a beach in Holland by a man named Crossman.
The light in the car is not very good, but good enough.
My God.
I doubt if the police could overlook that evidence. Night photography is almost child's play these days. It's quite easy to identify your accomplice, Miss Fleming. The young man, it may take a little longer to name, but you are all smugglers.
Do you want money?
No.
Now what do you want, then?
You have a neighbor, Mr. Emmett, a Sir Marcus Martin.
So?
So he has a collection of sketches. No doubt you know them.
I've never heard of them.
Oh, it doesn't matter if I believe you or not. But now, Mr. Emmett, I want you to steal the sketches.
Steal them?
That is your side of the bargain. Mine is to keep the police unaware of this private ferry service of yours.
I need time to think it over.
Hmm. Within limits, there's as much time as you want to think it over. And then to carry out the theft.
If I did decide to go through with it, how would I get in touch with you?
There's a travel agency called the Oasis, close to your usual hotel.
What?
I'm afraid we know a good deal about you, Mr. Emmett. At the agency, ask for a man named Leo. If he's not there, return again until you find him. Then tell him you're ready to speak to me. He'll show you where I can be found.
Good morning, Jakob.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Emmett.
I hope Mr. Van Helder gave you my message.
He said you were planning to leave an hour early. It is no matter. The aircraft is ready.
Mr. Van Helder is not in his office.
No. Sometimes in the morning, he is late. Do you return soon?
I'm not sure. There. Thank you for your trouble.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll do the checks. Come back in 10 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Emmett.
Request permission to taxi out. Over.
Alpha George Tango, you are free to taxi out. Over.
Alpha George Tango, thank you. Taxiing out. Over and out.
Yes, well, some polite regret to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Very sorry to that one.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Very, very sorry to that one.
All right.
And those two, I'd better sign those two when you've done them. I think I recognize those signatures.
Yes, Sir Marcus. Now, do you want to see Mr. Baxter when he comes this afternoon?
Baxter? Who's Mr. Baxter?
He's the organizer of the festival.
Oh, him. I don't know why you talked me to having anything to do with that.
I didn't talk you into it. You decided. You said you'd be a good neighbor.
He
wants to get some idea of the acoustics in the hall and talk about catering.
Warner's department. Let him talk to Warner.
Of course, but I think you ought to give him 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes. But I count on you to rescue me.
I'll tell you when he arrives, and then you can just look in on him when he's in the hall.
You deal with these things much better than I.
Yes, thank you. However, I think you should see him.
I haven't said I wouldn't, have I? Anything to stop me getting on with my work? Ah, I'm sorry if I've kept you.
Not at all, Sir Marcus. Lionel Baxter, how do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Baxter's had a long conversation with Warner. They've sorted out the feeding arrangements.
I never argue with Warner. About this sort of thing, that is.
Excellent. Now, we shall be bringing the piano on Friday, for the first recital, that is. Mr. Briggs hopes that it'll be all right for him to rehearse on the Saturday and the Sunday.
Careful, are they? The men moving the panel.
Yes, Sir Marcus is very anxious to protect the panelling.
Yes, I understand that completely. I'm sure they're absolutely reliable, London people.
Ah, well, I'm depending on you.
Huh. Are the tickets going well?
Very well, Mrs. Summers. Particularly for the two recitals here. A new venue is always very attractive. Quite apart from the appeal of the programme itself. Or themselves, in this case.
Good. Do you want me for anything else?
I don't think so, Sir Marcus. It was very good of you to look in, busy as you are.
Mr. Baxter and I are going to look at the paddock for the car park.
I'm going to have a drink. You want one?
Yes. Can I have something soft?
Feeling better?
Yes, thank you.
Is there old blow, Sam said?
Yes, it was. You've seen him, then?
Yes, I put some petrol in the car tonight on my way here. One tomato juice.
Thanks.
Did Sam do all right?
Yes. This is very handy. And I missed you, of course. Did you pay him?
Yes. I'll give you your share when I've collected the rest of the money from Mr. Roberts.
Right. Are you flying up in the morning?
Yes. I've told him to expect me. He sounded pleased.
So he should be. It was quite a trip.
Jane?
Yes?
There's something I have to tell you.
What?
We're being blackmailed.
Blackmailed?
Hmm.
Well, who's blackmailing us?
A man named Crossman. An American. The other night, when I'd left you and gone back to the shore, he appeared. Gave me quite a shock. Said he wanted to talk to me. He had a car parked nearby. We got into it, and then he told me what he wanted. He knew all about our ferry service, as he called it.
Oh, my God! What did he want?
And apparently Marcus has some sketches by Goya.
Oh.
I said I knew nothing about them, which is true, but he wants us to steal them.
To steal them?
Now, did you know anything about them?
Yes, I did.
You didn't tell me?
No. Well, I've never seen them myself, but my father has. He told me about them, and he made me promise that I'd never mention them.
Well, where does he keep them?
Oh, in a room on the first floor, I think. Locked. And there are no windows.
Oh, marvellous.
And Crossman knew enough about
he
us.
He had for photographs, you, Jane. Dates, places, shots of you, shots of me, Sam. Although he doesn't know who Sam is. Now, someone's talked. I don't know who. It doesn't matter. Someone on the Dutch side.
What are we going to do?
Well, if we're going to stay out of jail, we haven't much choice. We've got one real asset and one lesser one.
Well, what are they?
Well, Marcus likes you. That's the real asset. And he knows me. We have, therefore, some reason for going to the house from time to time.
Wait a minute. I've had an idea. How do you like classical music? Ooh, no, all right. Don't tell me. I know already. But I think you're about to have a miraculous conversion.
What do you mean?
I've got a brochure somewhere. Ah, there it is. Dates. Now, where are the dates? Dates. Oh, yes, here we are. Sunday the 17th of June, the Manor House, Upper Claxton. Mm-hmm. Sunday the 24th of June, Manor House, Upper Claxton. Ah, now, Sunday the 1st of July, Long Gable Hall. By kind permission of the owner, Sir Marcus Martin, piano recital by Wilfred Briggs. And Sunday the 8th of July, Long Gable Hall, by kind permission, etc. The Harrison Grange Fuller Trio. There you are.
I'm afraid I still don't follow.
Well, there'll be lots of people about. We can get into the hall, and with a bit of luck, we won't be spotted.
But I thought you said the room was locked.
Wait a minute, I haven't finished. Have another look at the brochure. The first two pages.
Yeah?
Now, those are pictures of all the houses being used in the festival. Mm. There's Manor House, Upper Claxton, interior and exterior, and Barnard House, Melling, interior and exterior.
Yes.
And there, Long Gable Hall, interior and exterior.
Well, where's this windowless room?
Well, I'd say it was about there. Look, Those three windows belong to Sir Marcus's room. Mm. And then there's a space. And then two more windows. Well, I'd say that the room was behind that wall there.
My God, look. There was a window there once. You can see the sill.
Yes.
It is, of course, 20 feet or so off the ground.
Or 10 feet down. Huh? Look at the roof. If we could get onto the roof with a rope.
It's too much for the two of us.
Sam! We could ask Sam.
It's my neck you're risking. You need an acrobat for that job. Or a monkey.
I'm sure the sill's wide enough for a good foothold.
Anyway, we've time to check that beforehand.
Oh, thanks. That's a great comfort. And you're asking me to do that not once, but twice.
There's too much to do on one evening. The first time, you loosen the brickwork. Not all of it, but enough to break through easily the next time.
Then I crawl in, remove the sketches, and send them up to you on the roof. Just like that.
We'll be looking after you, Sam.
You've got it worked out very nicely, haven't you?
We had to, Sam. God knows what the alternative is.
Does that mean you will?
It means you don't give me any choice. Well, at least if I'm on the roof waiting for you, I shan't have to listen to that music.
As the time for the first of the recitals drew nearer, Sir Marcus began to take a closer interest. Tim Lloyd, anxious to get on with the television programmes, found himself left alone for long stretches of time. As a result, we were thrown closer together, which didn't displease either of us. We took long walks in the fields behind the house or beside the marshes and the sea.
We should be turning back soon.
No hurry. Sir Marcus told me to see him at 5.
That's you. I'm due back before that.
Tell you what, we'll turn back at that old hut over there.
Oh, I'd like to walk on and on and on.
We should make him give you a holiday, you know.
No holidays, that's the rule. Not until October, not until he goes away.
You'll like him.
I wouldn't have stayed for 8 years if I hadn't, would I? Oh, it wasn't easy to start with. I got him sorted out after a struggle.
He thinks the world of you, you know.
He'd better.
Oh, there's arrogance for you.
Here we are, the hut. Oh, come on, turn back.
Helen, do you ever think of marrying again?
Do you?
Oh. Still a bit shell-shocked, I suppose.
Mine's too long ago for that, but I'm still not certain.
Will you do something for me?
What's that?
Keep me posted. If you feel any certainty coming on. Whichever way it is.
Good morning, Jacob.
Oh, good flight, Mr. Emmett.
Oh, bumped a bit coming in over the coast.
No problems.
You can take a look at this gauge. It may be playing up.
Sir?
Playing up. On the blink. Malfunctioning?
Oh, yes. I will look. You're back this afternoon?
Probably. I'll phone Mr. Van Helder if I'm delayed.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir. Can I help you? Tickets, information about tourism in Amsterdam?
Yes, I'm looking for someone called Leo.
Mr. Reuters, yes, sir.
Is he in?
Wait a moment, sir. I'll fetch him for you.
Ah.
I won't keep you long. Mr. Reuters is coming directly, sir.
Thank you.
Are you in Amsterdam on holiday?
On business.
That is a pity. It is a very good place for holiday.
Yeah. I'm sure it will have kept you. What can I do to help?
I was told you could help me to find Mr. Crossman. I'm Emmett.
Yes. We have been expecting you. I will take you to him.
Thank you.
Julie, I will not be long.
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My car is parked over there, on the other side of the canal. This way, please. Please get out, Mr. Emmett.
So where to now?
He will be waiting on the houseboat.
Aren't you coming with me?
No. I will wait in the car. Yeah. Then, when you have finished, I will take you back to the office. Please take care on the gangplank. It can be slippery.
Mr. Emmett, come in, please. Close the door and sit down.
Is this place yours?
You're surprised? Well, perhaps it is a little ornate, but the choice of decor was not mine. No, the place is not my own, but it is available to me when I want it. Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you.
I'm sorry that you felt you had to close down your normal operations. I understand that you haven't carried out any crossings in the last week or two.
That's my affair.
Of course, my interest was simply a friendly one. You've come to tell me you have agreed to bring me the sketches.
Yes.
And will you tell me how you intend to obtain them?
No. That's my business, too.
Quite right. If I were in your shoes, I should refuse just the same way. When may I expect delivery?
I can't tell you that.
Well, I can wait. Not indefinitely, of course, but I can wait some time. I shall want them brought to me here in Amsterdam.
And I get the photographs in return?
Naturally. I shall keep my side of the bargain. When you produce the sketches, I shall hand you the photographs with the negatives. I'm only interested in this one transaction. When you're ready, get in touch with Leo again. You'll know where I'm to be found.
Oh, not here, not on the houseboat.
No, no. Come, I'll show you back to the quay. I have a number of stopping places in the city. Sometimes one is more convenient than another. Be careful of your head, please. Ah, fresh air again.
Is that Leo over there talking to that man? Look as though they're going to fight.
Oh, I know that man. Leo is trying to prevent us from being disturbed. The man's a nuisance, a business colleague once upon a time. Perhaps we had better return to the cabin. Oh, no, no, it's all right. The other man's going away. Are you flying back to England this afternoon?
Yes.
Then I wish you a pleasant flight. Leo will take you wherever you wish to go. I look forward to good news before long, Mr. Emmett.
Mr. Briggs's piano arrived at the hall as promised on the Friday before the recital. Mr. Briggs anxiously watched it carried into the house and put in position, and then he waited while the tuner went to work. Sir Marcus, lacking experience in playing host to a concert pianist, made reassuring sounds, and then, as the house began to fill with the sounds of Mr. Briggs's rehearsal, hurried away to tackle the problems of the car park, which had been his particular despair.
I give up entirely. If there's anyone capable of organizing a full-scale traffic jam in the middle of Lincolnshire, it's those two idiots I've put in charge.
They'll be all right, Sir Marcus, when it comes to it.
What do you know about it?
I know that you make them nervous. Now, left to themselves, they're perfectly capable. Now, look, Tim's waiting for you inside. Why don't you go and join him?
When Sunday came, Marcus went up to change about 7 o'clock. He'd invited some friends to look in before the recital started. Jane Fleming arrived early, bringing Stephen Emmett with her.
Hello, Marcus. How are you?
I'm in no state to enjoy anything. Not even the pleasure of seeing you. It's going to be a disaster, I'm certain.
Oh, I'm sure it isn't.
Warner! Warner! Get Miss Fleming a drink. Good evening, Stephen. This is a surprise.
I thought I ought to support a neighbour.
I said he had to come. Mm. Oh, Stephen, I'm not sure if you've met Tim Lloyd, Marcus's producer.
No. How do you do?
Hello.
Get a drink, Stephen. Rain's going to hold off, is it?
Yeah, should do. Looks set for a fine night.
Rain would be the last straw. We'd still be here at dawn, and God knows what the state of the paddock would be after the tractor's got at it.
Oh, I thought it was never going to finish.
Shh.
How long have we got?
The interval's 50 minutes, but Helen says it'll take at least an hour to serve supper.
Hmm. Say 10:30 for the start of the second half. Should be dark enough. We'd better make a show of getting some food.
Yes. And then when the people are coming back into the hall, we can slip up onto the roof. Mm. And if anyone looks at us, we can look sheepish and pretend we've got other things to do.
In Marcus's guest room.
Well, they can work that out for themselves. Come on, we'll go and eat. And I've got to be civil to my mother for at least 5 minutes sometime.
The interval ran longer than we'd planned. It seemed to take an age to get people fed in one place and back to their seats in another. Eventually, however, we managed it, and Mr. Briggs began to play again. First, a Mozart sonata.
Sam, where are you?
Over here, by the chimney. For God's sake, keep that torch down.
Have you got all the gear?
Aye. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Rope, yes. Basket, tools, and overalls for you two.
Right.
And gloves for all of us.
Oh, fine. Here, Jane, put these on.
Thanks. Thank God I chose a short dress.
Yeah.
Now, be quick. I've belayed the rope round the chimney. Yeah. I've tied the other end round my waist. If you take the rope there, and Jane there, when she's ready.
I'm coming.
Right. Take hold of the rope. That's it. I've got the tools in my pocket. The basket's tied to the second rope. Lower it to me when I tell you, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm ready then.
Good luck, Sam.
Off my head, that's what I am. Here goes. God, it's a hell of a drop. Can you see the sill?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, it's wider than I thought. Pay out some more rope.
Yeah, right.
I found the sill. Keep the rope taut in case I swing off.
Okay.
What's he saying?
He's all right. He says the sill's wider than he thought.
Stephen,
I'm going to start chipping. If you see anyone in the garden, give a tug on the rope. Then I'll stop.
Okay, then.
Right.
How's it coming?
It's quite easy. My dad reckons this must have been one of the last jumps old Pottinger did before he gave up.
You told your father?
No, of course not. Just asked him questions. He said old Pottinger didn't do a jump properly in his last 5 years.
They're on the last piece. We can't count on more than two encores.
Sam!
What?
You'll have to come up. We've got to go.
Almost finished. I reckon I'm almost there.
Yeah, well, come up. I have to leave the rest until next week.
Okay. I'm going to try to pull some of the ivy back over. You can pull the basket up.
Jane. Let's get the basket
okay.
up. Right. Pull then. Right. Come on. Come on.
I got it.
Right. Leave the basket. We've got to get Sam up. You ready, Sam?
Yeah.
Now pull when I say, Jane.
Yes.
Right. Right. Now. Come on.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
Give me that over the edge.
Yeah. Got it?
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Well done.
Oh, bloody miraculous. And you want me to do that again?
Oh, not for a week.
Oh, thanks very much. You'd better get out of that set of overalls.
Right. Now, how long will you stay here?
I have to wait until it's quiet. About an hour. Oh, look, it's a dry night. Oh, don't worry, I won't leave it too soon.
I'm ready. Oh, thanks, Sam. Good night.
This way, Jane.
Yeah, night.
Sir Marcus was as pleased with the first recital as if he'd performed it himself. Of course, there were things he didn't like. Things for Warner to be told of, things for me to be told of, and one or two things for Mr. Baxter to be told of. One by one we were paraded to be told of them. But it was all, he said, to make sure that the second concert went even better.
Sam? Sam, how are you getting on?
Last couple of bricks.
Oh, the basket must be full again.
Yes, it'll take the last two. There. Pull it up. Steady. God, I thought they were going to drop it.
I've got the handle. There. Now, empty them quickly.
Yeah, all right.
Don't bother with a neat pile.
Oh. Let me have the basket back.
Yeah, here. It's on its way. Stand by.
Right. Listen. I'm going in. I'm taking the basket with me. So pay out more rope.
Okay.
When I've got the sketches, I'll put them in the basket.
Right.
Has he got in?
I could just see his legs. Oh. Yes, he's in. He's in now.
Oh. Oh, for God's sake, let's hope he's all right.
How's the music?
Oh, I've forgotten to listen. No, that's Beethoven. They're finishing with Bartok. That's definitely still Beethoven.
Oh, thank God for expensive educations.
Isn't it about time he was signalling?
Oh, give him a chance. He's got to take the things out of their frames.
You don't think there is a burglar alarm, do you?
Well, it's all right so far. Perhaps his luck will hold.
Our luck.
Yes, our luck.
That's the end of the Beethoven.
Well, how long have we got?
Oh, a quarter of an hour at least.
The rain's holding off. There, that's a tug.
Yes.
I've got all there are. In the basket, you can pull it up.
Right. Okay, Jerry.
Yes.
Pull. Right.
Got hold of it.
Yes. No. Leave the sketches where they are. Let's get Sam up.
Yes.
Sam, you ready?
Yes, pull away.
All right, Jane. Yeah. One, two, three. Pull. 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 Here, take my hand. That's it. Sam, you did it. You did it.
God, I'm tired. Well, let me have a look at them, then.
Yes, sketches, Jane. Show them the sketches.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Here, have the torch. Now, careful.
Well, it's different, isn't it?
Huh?
What's different?
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way before. But these sketches... Well, it's theft, isn't it? I mean, first, smuggling. Well, I didn't think much of that. But this... Well... It's thieving, whichever way you look at it.
That was the second part of A Story with Pictures by Colin Shaw. Sir Marcus Martin was played by Freddie Jones, Helen Summers, Kate Binchy, Tim Lloyd, James Bryce, Stephen Emmett, Nigel Anthony, and Jane Fleming, Amanda Murray. Sam Price was played by Stephen Garlick, and George Crossman by David Healy. Geoffrey Collins was Leah Rutas, Nigel Graham, Mr. Baxter, Moya Leslie, Julie, and Jakob Alex Jennings. A Story with Pictures was directed by Michael Heffernan.